Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Last half hour of the Greenhouse Show, Todd. Dave Meekham sitting in for Maria today, who's got the day off. Kind of nice for her.
Yeah, if I would have had a little bit more advance notice, we would have had a Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons day today. We've done the
that
Beach Boys,
fun.
Jan and Dean. So next time we do the show and have some advance notice, maybe we'll do that.
We could have talked about the Beach Boy Four Seasons rivalry.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
No.
That was a thing? Oh, yeah. They mentioned each other in songs.
Really? The original diss tracks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that another
funny.
Time. Yeah. They actually patched it up 20 years later and did a song together. So it's kind of cool.
Well, that's cool. I did see, before we get back to gardening, I did see a YouTube video of some of the Beach Boys singing Sloop John B with there was another version at the same time that was popular. I can't.
It's an old folk song. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Was the trio.
Kingston Trio?
Kingston Trio did a Sloop John B at the same time. Both of them were popular. Beach Boys was more so. But I saw one or two Beach Boys singing the Beach Boys version of Sloop John B with the Kingston Trio.
That was
kind of interesting.
That'd be great. All right, let's get back to some calls. We've got John calling in from Twilla. Don't get a lot of wasp calls this time of the year. How are you, John?
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. So I know it's a weird time to call about wasps. We were having some wasps come in through a hole right under one of our windows.
Uh-huh.
And we found it, and we patched it up and caulked over it so they can't get in. But now we're seeing wasps in our house all over the place. I think we've killed maybe 30 or 40 of them. So I know I got a nest somewhere. How do I get rid of them? Scaring my kids like crazy.
Well, I've gone through this. Our daughter got stung a couple of years ago, I think four times one winter, because they kept coming under the windowsill. And I kept trying to seal it up, and I don't know how they were getting under it. And there must have been a wasp nest under the siding. Unfortunately, is there a particular room that they're more common in?
Yeah, my daughter's bedroom.
Great. Oh, so you may need to call an exterminator that has specialized equipment. What they can sometimes do is take an IR temperature gun that has a camera on it. I guess it's an IR camera.
Yeah, they just slide that inside there and take a look inside
and
the walls.
They'll slide it and they'll take them, but they can also just run on the outside of the walls, inside and out, and look for a hot spot where those wasps might be because of their body heat. So that's one possibility that they could look at, but it's not guaranteed that it'll work, but at this point, an exterminator may be your best bet. The only other thing, if they are inside the walls and getting through the insulation, that's never good news.
Well, if I go outside and look where they were coming in, where we caulked it, I still have wasps trying to go in from outside in. And so I know that they're not getting in anymore, but I know that there's some in the house because we killed probably 20 or 30 in the past.
Yeah. Have you noticed if they're attracted to any sort of food, whether it's like sugary, like juice drinks or meat or anything?
No, they like fly inside and they're like half zombified wasps, but they're not really flying.
Yeah. Because it's because they've been cold.
Yeah, and it takes a few days for them to warm back up. I mean, the only other, I don't know. Our daughter slept on the couch a lot of nights until we were sure we got rid of the wasps.
That's what my daughter's in the mode of.
I mean, if you could find where they're coming in and plug that up, I think that, having access.
We've done that. I sat outside my window and just watched where they were coming in, and I cocked that area up so that they couldn't get in anymore.
Right,
but it's more coming from where they're already at in the wall into the house.
How they're getting in the house from inside the wall.
You may need to move some of the furniture out so you can see the bare walls to see if you can find a point that they might be entering. I would especially focus around the window.
The spot that we think that they're coming is through the light fixture.
Wow. Okay, and you might be able to put some caulking around there, or you know, if they're crawling through, maybe even, I don't know if there's double-sided sticky tape that won't ruin
the
walls.
I have no idea if this is a good idea or not, but I think one way you could test that is if you took the light fixture off and just attached like a small garbage bag around the fixture, and if you came in later and had wasps inside that bag, that would confirm that that's how they're getting in. And I don't know that that helps you solve the problem, but at least would confirm what your suspicion is.
You have an entry point.
Okay.
If you could somehow trap them inside that wall.
Even a gallon Ziploc, if you took the mounting plate completely off, hopefully they don't come out and try to get you if you do that. But that would, and then just tack a gallon Ziploc or something up there to see if they're in there.
Man, I would look for an exterminator, though, in that situation. That's a really hard one.
That's why I'm calling you guys. You guys are supposed to be experts.
Well, when it comes to structural pests, short of us telling you to start tearing apart the drywall, you need that specialized equipment to be able to do it.
Yeah.
If you had a neighbor that for some reason had like a civil engineering job or structural engineering that had one of these FLIR cameras that had the IRs that you could see the temperature differences in walls, if you could find somebody that, before calling an exterminator, you could try that to see if you could find the nest.
Find where they're at.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate the suggestions and ideas.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Hopefully you figured that out. All right. Another caller waiting on the line. Adam is in on the phone waiting in calling from Riverton. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
You bet. How can we help you?
So we bought a home in Riverton last year, and we're trying to first-time home buyers, so we're trying to figure out the lawn. It's pretty much just weeds mixed with grass everywhere. And so going into the winter, just trying to figure out what the best approach would be. We've heard that we need to fertilize, use 2,4-D to kill weed. We're not sure if we can do both of those things at the same time. And so really we're just trying to figure out how we can restore health to the lawn going into the winter.
Well, as far as eliminating weeds, it's just because it's a better way to do it. I would use something like a good lawn weed killer made by Ortho or Trimac or Q4 Plus, or even like Image all-in-one lawn weed killer. There's several out there, and spray that on the lawn weeds and then just fertilize separately. You can do it the same day. I would probably fertilize first and then do the lawn weed killer and let it dry, but you've got to get it done this weekend between today and Monday.
Okay. Okay. And then once that's down, do we need to water on top of that?
No, you don't. We're going to get rain Monday or Tuesday of next week, and you just spray it, and you may not see much, but in the spring, a lot of the weeds will just be gone.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where you can't tell the grass from the weed. It's just so mixed.
Yeah. I would just go ahead and get that spray down now. And I would use something along the lines of Q4 Plus or Speed Zone.
Okay. Q4 Plus
or Speed Zone.
Speed Zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Adam.
Great. Well, thank you.
Good luck. Well, hopefully that grass will look a little bit better next year. All right, it is time to jump out and take a break, though, Tom. But there is a text that kind of dovetails off of that. I want to ask you this real quick. Carl wants to know, if he puts a pre-emergent down now, would he still be able to plant grass seed next year?
No, don't put that pre-emergent down. That's the second text we've had. And there are some very specific instances for pre-emergent, but this isn't one of them.
Okay, there you go. All right, let's take that break now. We'll come back, and we're going to chat with Jan on the other side of the break, and we're going to take a few more of your texts in the last segment of the Greenhouse Show here on the other side of this break. All right, Tom, final segment of the Greenhouse Show. It's been fun hanging out with you again this week. I think we get to do this next month.
We've had a good show.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Let's take a Jan's call before we run out of time here. Jan's calling here from Nephi. Good morning, Jan.
Hi, I live in Nephi. I have about a six-year-old peach tree. Cats were getting up and scratched the bark on the major scaffold limbs. And then that was about 2-3 years ago. Well, I've kept the cats out, but the limbs never recovered. They just, the whole, where they had scratched it all the way down through the bark, it never ever repaired itself, and the fruit became quite bitter. So I decided to pull the tree out. So my, I have a new peach tree. Is, I'm thinking of planting it like within a foot or two of where I had the other one, for the reason of just the way my yard works. Is that going to be a problem? It wasn't the greater peach borer. I checked, and I always spray for that.
You know, the cat scratching didn't help, but they didn't cause the fruit to go bitter. We had a lot of peaches like that the last few years, and it's more been drought stress and heat that's caused it, and not the cats directly, although they probably contributed.
What we kind of figured is that insects got in where they had taken it down to the bear, you know, gone through the thing. I mean, it was a hole that was the size of my fist on the branch itself that was right down to the wood.
It could be. It could be some other things going on. But the new peach, you should be fine planting it adjacent to the old one.
Okay. Oh, okay. And then another question I had was about my raspberries. I planted Polana 2 years ago. And last year I got really good fruit. But this year, my fall crop, it just like shriveled up. It never really developed and got big. Have I done something wrong, or is it too hot? You know,
it could have been the summer heat. If all of them shriveled up, that's either a virus or summer heat. And Polana is a relatively new variety, so I'd more maybe suspect summer heat than anything if it was every last berry.
There was a few canes that I was able to pick, but that was it.
Okay. Yeah, it may have been summer heat. I mean, the only other possibility would be something like bushy dwarf virus, but the plants wouldn't have looked normal. So are you going to cut them down to the ground this year, or are you going to train them so you get a summer and fall crop?
You know, for this first, because the crop was so bad, I'm tempted to take them down to the ground.
And you could do that within the next couple of weeks, sometime November 10th to 15th or 20th. You could just get some hedge trimmers and just mow them right to the ground within 2 or 3 inches and just collect the canes and throw them away or burn them or something.
Okay.
And what would happen is you would lose your summer crop, but you would get a heavy fall crop. And if they did it again, then you would probably know it was summer heat. But that's something I would try just to see. And if you wanted to get a summer cropping berry, you know, you could plant one just, you know, enough for a few bowls or something over time. It'd take a few years. But that's what I would try to do with those Polanas.
Okay.
All right, Jen.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call. Good luck to you. Got just a few minutes left here, Ton. Let's just see if we can do some texts here and answer some of these questions. First one, should dahlia tubers be dug up in the fall or left in the ground over the winter? This is some.
It's recommended to do so, just so that you can guarantee they overwinter. Some people will get a bag of steer manure and put it over the top of the dahlias. As it breaks down, it produces a little bit of heat, and they might even cover that with some bark mulch. And then you would take that off in sometime in early to mid-April next year so that those dahlias can grow back through. And you can sometimes get them to overwinter like that, but it's not a guaranteed thing. The sure bet is to dig them up and bring them in.
Okay, and then the other part of their question, should, and this is a plant, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, I'm not familiar with this one, allium bulbs?
Yeah, related to onions, ornamental onions.
Should they be divided in the fall or early spring?
They can divide them now. I would do it sooner than later, just while it's warm.
Okay. The power company injected some chemical around my maple to help slow its growth. Is it going to make her tree, I don't know, his tree unhealthy?
Probably not, as long as the tree is healthy. I have seen where they've injected that stuff around unhealthy trees or trees that were stressed, and it will kill them, but it's usually the exception. But if the tree is healthy, it should be okay.
Okay. And a faithful listener, Mark, wants to know if he can collect and irrigate with gray water from his shower, bath, and laundry.
Probably. I would not
The soap collect chemicals the, would worry me.
The soap chemicals may, they're diluted enough that it may not harm anything. I'm just going to defer to state regulations on that and call their county health department.
I don't think that's...
It's done, people will usually have a leach field going into their lawn. Some people save the water coming out of, you know, because a little bit of soap isn't going to hurt anything. But when you start getting into laundry soap, and it just depends on the amount in the water that's the critical piece. And so probably, but just out of legal liability, I'm going to defer him to his county to see what county code says about it.
Okay, we got about 40 seconds here. We got, I have a sumac plant, leaves falling off. Do I cut them off or leave the bare stems alone?
Leave it alone. And if you need to do any pruning, sometime in mid-January.
Okay, Autumn Blaze, Pear, and Pacific Sunset Maple, good trees for Roy?
No. The okay. Pacific Sunset's okay, but the Pear is okay. It's fine. It's just way overplanted, but I would leave Autumn Blaze Maple at the retailer.
All right, somebody with a wasp comment. Boric acid and dish detergent mixed with a little bit of water to make it flow is great for wasps indoors. Non-toxic to pets, birds, and it kills the insects.
It kills it, but it doesn't get at the point of finding where they're coming in. That's okay. The bigger problem.
And that's going to about wrap our time up. And it's been fun to hang out with you again here, Tom.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And we will do this again. I think we get to do this in December, so looking forward to that. But thanks for being with us today on The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. We'll see you next time.